But let me come back. You entered into an agreement with Tulsa Public Schools.
Yes.
So that's state or federal money, I suppose, that's coming.
Well, they approached us and asked if we would provide programs for children that were demanding services, because at that point in time, Public Law 94-142 had been passed, which provides a free and appropriate education to every child with special needs in the least restrictive setting. So the public schools were having more and more families demanding services. We had approached them to see if they would provide therapists for us early on, and they had laughed and said, we were in the little house at the time. They said, we can't put our therapist over there. And I can understand. So then once we moved into Emmanuel, they had heard a lot about us, and they called and asked if they could have a tour. And so we said, of course. And so we took them on a tour, and they were very impressed. The program had really developed by that time, and we had hired some therapists and so on at that point in time, but we desperately needed teachers because our teachers were really, really overextended. And so the head of special ed department at that time came into my office, and he said, you've got an incredible program going on here. He said, you're doing what they're really asking us to do. He said, how about if we enter into a contractual agreement where these kids that are wanting services, we send them over to you. We put those kids and your kids on both Little Lighthouse roles and public school roles. And he said, we will hire some additional teachers for you. We've got some great additional equipment for you. It's pretty high-tech equipment. This was like a dream for us. We'll just enter into this agreement. And it sounded good. I remember asking him if separation of church and state could be a problem. And his response was, don't worry about it, just don't say anything. We entered into that agreement, and that lasted for about 3 years.
Well, then the enrollment had to really grow then.
It grew dramatically. It skyrocketed. We had over 30 kiddos by 3 years later, a pretty substantial staff that represented all the different therapies and so on. But there were problems that arose with some families that disagreed with the fact that we were praying in the classrooms. We had Bible posters on the wall. We used a Bible-based curriculum, and we prayed in the classrooms. And so there were families that disapproved of that. And they went to the public schools, and really, public schools didn't have much choice. They demanded that public schools demand that we cease prayer in the classrooms, the Bible-based curriculum, take the Bible posters down, that we eliminate all of that. And John, the fact of the matter was, we knew God opened those doors. And we had made Christ the cornerstone. And we didn't feel that we could turn our back on him. He had provided for us. He had made it possible for it to open. It was his ministry. We knew the only way that it was there is because of him. And so our board of directors met way into the night, 2:00 in the morning, one night. At the end of the meeting, they had determined that we would not compromise. We did lose a few board members who disagreed. They felt like we couldn't possibly make it without public schools. And so we went through a very difficult time in the next year and a half because they did pull out, and pretty much close to overnight. I mean, it was in a matter of just like a month or two, they had pulled out. We had lost the teachers, therapists, the equipment. Our pupil enrollment dropped from over 30 down to 5. Actually, it was 3 or 4. I think it went back to 5 pretty quick, but it was a very small number. Many of our staff ended up going to work for public schools. Really, the only ones that were left were those who were totally devoted followers of Christ that believed Christ should be the cornerstone or the ministry should not be, and they remained. But we went through a very, very difficult year and a half.
So then you had to wonder if the school should even continue.
I did. And there were times when I One time in particular, I said, God, why? Why? Because it was hard. You know, it was like we were barely existing. And so donations fell off. Our staff were voluntarily going without paychecks, sometimes up to 7 payroll periods. And so I felt responsible as the head of it. It was, you know, it was hard. And I remember one time saying, God, this makes no sense. You know, this public law has been passed. Public schools now have to do this. Why don't you just let us close? Why don't you just let us close? And I got no answer. I just, when did you ever, finally, in just frustration and irritation, I said, when did you ever ask anybody else to do anything that made no sense whatsoever? And I was silent. And then just one word came to my mind and heart. Noah. And I thought, yeah, that didn't make sense. Why should he build a boat? You know, there was no rain. Why? It made no sense. He was building something that made no sense. And there was a wonderful board member at that time. And I shared my story with him, that experience. And I remember him saying, Marcia, that was God speaking. And one day, there is going to be a flood of children that is going to need this ark. We are to keep building. Well, today, we have almost 500 children on our waiting list. We're serving over 250 each year. Jerry was right. There was a flood coming, and God did know what he was doing. And Christ is still the cornerstone at the Little Lighthouse.
And so when we see that facility at 36th and Yale, that's really an ark.
It's an ark. It is an ark,
right.
For sure.
Right.